Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series.
You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Gene Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Watch Hacks, streaming exclusively on Max, and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bean Dad, The Dress, 30 to 50 Feral Hogs. If you knew what any of those were, you spend too much time online. And hey, I do too. 16th Minute of Fame is a new weekly podcast hosted by me, Jamie Loftus. And every week we take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Who are they? What made them so notorious? How did the internet or the algorithm choose them? And what does a person do when they're suddenly confronted with more attention than the human psyche can handle? Listen to 16th Minute of Fame on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in LA, and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
All I ever wanted was a little love. I want true romance, it's true.
Hello and welcome to True Romance. That is the name of our podcast. I'm Carolina Barlow. I'm here with my best friend,
Devin Leary.
Devin is currently experiencing what my psychiatrist has diagnosed me with once upon a time, which was major depression. And we'll get to that later. But first, we have to talk about someone in need. And that is our dear friend, Britney Spears.
It's like interesting that you say we'll get to Devin's depression later and then bring up the most depressing thing that has ever happened. But I had to stop myself from even reading some of the Britney stuff this week because it made me so sad. I listened to her full testimony and I felt like so inspired by her and so proud of her, but also just devastated.
Devastated and the powerlessness is really frustrating. Like, just fucking let her go. These people, these greedy fucking Tom Girardis of the world are scamming her. They are legitimately scamming her and they're gaslighting her and America. And I thought it was great how she owned her anger. Like when she said, "I'm so angry, it's insane." And I just can't imagine, you know, obviously most people know that she has an IUD that they are refusing to let her take out, which is unfathomable.
One of the many tweets I saw was like Fox News posted a story like days late after everyone had already talked about it. And they're
losers.
Like, Britney Spears wants to remove her contraception, quote, wants to be a mother. I'm like, why'd you put that in quotes? First of all, fuck you. Second of all, I saw another tweet that I loved, which was like Meghan McCain posted something about free Britney and she had like, it's so fucked up that she has her IUD. And obviously she didn't say it like that, but whatever. And someone retweeted it and was like, so you actually think it's messed up that women can't control their own reproductive rights? Oh, okay. Because that's not what you fucking stand for, you bitch.
And I wish someone could control your hairstyle because you look like someone from Xenon the sequel every time you show up on The View.
I'm really scared for this episode of the podcast. I'm so sad and mad. Anything at any given moment, I can just say something that I will regret for the rest of my life. But sometimes I'm like, really? Like, I have been ridiculed for my appearance. My appearance was a bane to my existence. I was told by society all these fucked up things about my appearance my whole life. Like, that's just what women deal with. We live in this prison of, like, our appearance being our value in society. And then we're told we're not allowed to make fun of other women's appearances.
Like, this is true. This is so messed up.
It's like, if you comment on Michelle Wolf.
Yes, that's what I was
commenting on, the smoky eye of Sarah Sanders, and people freaked out. It's like, fuck you.
Like, I'm allowed to point out the obvious, which is that Sarah Sanders looks like a baby who smokes. Like, her face looks like a grumpy baby who smokes cigarettes, and like a baby who like learned how to put on eyeliner. And I know, when I say learned, I mean like got a hold of her mom's eyeliner, got a hold of her mom's cigarettes, and has her father's face. And, you know, I'm allowed to point out the obvious. I'm allowed to say the sky is blue, you know? So I think that's the nicest thing I could say about Sarah Huckabee Sanders.
But the long story short is, don't you fucking Meghan McCain wear a lampshade braid on your head, a braid in the shape of a lampshade on your head, and talk about being pro fucking life and pro guns and whatever the fuck you talk about, and then expect me not to comment on it.
To bring it back to our girl Brittany, who did wear a shirt that said "We are all dreamers" in support of the DACA recipients, and did cheer on the Women's March, even though she can't do anything. She can't go out in public.
Yeah. She can't go to her friend's house.
She can't go to her friend's house. And everyone, this is also something I want to say. Everyone makes fun of her for how crazy she looks on Instagram. She seems balanced for what I would be. I would be screaming into the void.
I mean, I will say also about her Instagram that I think a lot of theories that have been circulating have been proven true, which is that people would comment on her Instagram and say, like, wear pink if you need help. And then she would wear pink. Like,
yeah.
Okay. So people are like, what is she doing just walking back and forth on her Instagram? Sending messages, bitch. But she said that she didn't think anyone would believe her if she told the truth. And she mentioned a couple times, like, people think her life is perfect, and people would say, like, well, you're this, like, famous celebrity. What are you complaining about? And I just feel like that's such a coded message to women in our society.
Yes.
And it's so horrible. The whole thing has been making me think about this short story, The Yellow Wallpaper. Do you know what I'm talking about? I read this short story in high school. And as a girl with severe anxiety, OCD, anorexia, intrusive, disturbing thoughts in high school, I felt very connected to it. It's the story of a woman who is locked away in a room, basically, in the Victorian era. And it's from her perspective. And she's like, and I'm in this room and it makes sense. And my husband, John, is a doctor. And he says this will make me feel better. And I'm just looking out the window. But like, this wallpaper is really bothering me. And basically, she slowly gets angrier and more upset. And then the wallpaper looks like a woman who's in prison to her. She starts seeing an imprisoned woman in the wallpaper. And it just describes this woman who's basically been told by her husband, because he's a doctor, that she's hysterical, which is what they called it back then.
Right.
Guys, here's a little history lesson. You know those shirts that say hysterical female? Well, that's based in real fucking events. He says she was hysterical, and then she becomes that. Like, she actually loses her mind because she's imprisoned by him. And that's what I've been thinking about, is like, we internalize these messages about ourselves, and then we think, why would anyone believe me? And we just are still all gaslit by society, like she is. And I'm sure she's gaslit by her fucking scum.
God.
Dad, by the way, I love, my favorite thing and one of my favorite sources of joy in this past week has been TikTok and people on TikTok's reaction. One of my favorites was just a guy talking to the camera saying, Zoe 101, more like Zoe 101, we're coming for you, Jamie Lynn Spears.
That's what I was going to say. Okay, I have to interrupt to say, Jamie Lynn Spears, what? The actual fuck horse shit. Listen, I'm sorry that I have a low bar for men and that I'm like, of course your father is probably an alcoholic, abusive piece of shit. Of course. If my sister was being held captive, the fact that Jamie Lynn Spears is just posting about like her kids and her life and selfies in the mirror and not saying, someone please help, SOS, SOS, your whole life is coming from your sister.
Yeah.
Okay? Your sister has taken care of you her whole life.
You wouldn't have been shit. You wouldn't have been shit.
You wouldn't have been shit. You would have gotten pregnant at 16 anyways, and it would have been much harder, my friend.
Yeah. You would have been Macy from Teen Mom instead of Jamie Lynn Spears. I actually don't even remember if we aired this in our Britney episode, but like we talked about the fact that Jamie Lynn Spears had actually responded to one of the comments from people saying like Britney needs help on Instagram, and she said, she was like, you don't know the situation. Like, my sister is a really strong person.
Exactly. Gaslight, 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 gaslight.
Yeah. I mean, I feel like on the one hand, she didn't say like she never said that there wasn't a conservatorship or that there wasn't something going on. But the strength with which Britney spoke, and it broke my heart too, like the court stenographer, but I don't think it was her. It was like the judge or something. Someone was like, you have to slow down so we can like get all your words down. And she kept like being so sweet and being like, okay, I'm so sorry. Yes. Okay. I will calm down. But she just kept getting worked up over and over again. And she was like, I'm just traumatized. I'm traumatized. I'm in shock. I've been in shock. And like, I'm waking up. And she said at one point, she was like, talking about being forced to be on tour, basically to pay all these people who are imprisoning her. And she's like, I wasn't good. I was great. I'm great at what I do. And like that really moved me to tears. Another thing I've seen on TikTok is people will post like a comment from someone saying like, can she even dance? Can she even sing? And then the TikTok is like an incredible, mind-blowing scene of her doing insane choreography, singing, performing. I mean, this
she
is
choreographs a, this stuff.
This is a type of pop star that doesn't exist anymore. No offense, Ariana Grande. Yes, you have a great voice, but what does she do on stage? Like, she walks back and forth in heels.
Yes.
And she like barely opens her mouth, and
she bops. Like, she just bops to the music kind of casually. Like, you go to a party, but not even like she. Like, she's cool. She tries to be cool. Britney literally puts on a show.
Britney dances. To quote J-Lo, Britney dances.
And by the way, I've seen videos of Britney watching dancers put stuff together, and she's talking to the producers the whole time. And I love that Britney keeps on mentioning Janet. Watching these dancers, she was like, oh, Janet does this. She has the dancers dance really close together.
Yes.
And this brings me to a Tavi Gevinson piece that was in The Cut after the Framing Britney Spears doc. And she basically was saying that everyone's talking about how Britney should be in control, that she's not in control, but she's actually just like a young girl who was sexualized from a very young age, et cetera, et cetera. And it got me really annoyed because I kept thinking, no, she wants to be in control.
Right.
You can't tell her that she's a naive young girl who was sexualized at a very young age. That might be true. But at the same time, she did build a career for herself. And the people who are trying to control her aren't responsible for her success. She is. And so it frustrates me that people paint her as crazy when, like you said, she did say, no, I'm great. I do this. I can do this. Most people, you know, couldn't do one night of dancing like she does.
I just feel like every woman from our generation got so much joy.
Yes.
From Britney's work, as you just said, and so much trauma from the way the media responded to her. Like, I feel like that created generational trauma, just the way watching this woman be tortured by the media and being told that we should agree that she is a bad mother and that she's a slut and that she's crazy. And when she said that she didn't think anyone would believe her, I thought, I don't know a single woman who hasn't had a moment of, I don't know if anyone will believe me. And I also think that, like you said, she says, like, I'm not good, I'm great. I feel like it takes so much emotional work for women to get to that point, at least for me. Like, I really feel that way now about myself in many respects. Like, I'm great at my job. I am great. I lose sight of this a lot, but I do think I'm, like, a catch, like, a really valuable person that people should be happy to be around. But that is after years of therapy and years.
Which she can't go to, which she cannot go to.
It just enrages me to think that, like, men are just born into a society that tells them that they're great. Like, I can't even comprehend that. Like, just growing up, like, oh, it's likely that I could be president. It's likely that I could be this. It's likely that I will succeed. It's likely that I'll be accepted. Like, it takes my breath away to even try to imagine what that's like. But yeah, it is some Victorian era shit, by the way. She's getting forced to be put on medication she doesn't want to be on. Like, it's like a horror movie. It's a horror movie.
Yeah, it is. It is. And I think, you know, there's a part of, I'm sure, the narrative, which is like, well, this is like a woman who's worth $60 million. Why are we feeling bad for her and her big fancy house? But this is the thing. She's a powerful woman who is still undermined. This is what we're telling people. This is also just the experience of being a woman. It does not matter how successful you are. It doesn't matter how beautiful you are, how privileged you are. The literal patriarchy can still undercut you and keep you captive.
I just want to point out, she didn't even choose her career. Her parents forced her into her career. She's been working since she was a teenager because her parents, since she was a preteen, because her parents made her. So it's not like she, like, achieved her dreams necessarily. She achieved the dream that was put upon her and then was ravaged by society as a result of something she didn't even choose to do.
She's also said multiple times that she hopes to God her sons never choose the entertainment industry, which to me is heartbreaking because it just speaks to how scared she is of this industry, understandably. Yep. And her and Kevin Federline were interviewed together once when they were still together. And someone said, would you let, or do you want your kids to be in the entertainment industry? And at the same time, they both said, hell no.
Maybe he would change his mind now if he thought he could get a check from them.
This is true. Oh, also fuck him for saying, like, I hope the courts make the right decision. Not being like, this is the mother of my children. She can only see them a few times a week, even though I know she's okay. And I have, like, 8 children and 2 different wives, but people think that I'm fine.
Yeah.
I want true romance.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bean Dad, The Dress, 30 to 50 Feral Hogs. If you knew what any of those were, you spend too much time online. And hey, I do too. 16th Minute of Fame is a new weekly podcast hosted by me, Jamie Loftus, where every week I take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Who were they? What made them so notorious? Why did the internet choose them? And what does a person do when they're suddenly confronted with more attention than the human psyche can handle? I'll be talking to internet historians, experts, and yes, the main characters themselves to get a fuller picture. Because I think that even outside individual experiences, a character of the day tells us something about how the internet worked at that time and how the attention economy developed into the freaky three-headed dragon it is today. Together, we probably won't be able to properly log out, but we can take a walk down scary internet memory lane and see one day a little more clearly. Listen to 16th Minute of Fame on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
the war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turned sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
In other news, good morning.
Good morning. Devin and I have both hit like the fan this week.
Yeah.
The funny thing is that this episode is dedicated to us critiquing male decor and fashion choices. But at the same time, I woke up at noon. I have not showered since my party last night. And Devin is wearing her Christmas sweater.
And I got, wait.
Oh, and she has her Selena Gomez shirt underneath, which I think is cool. So we are both dressed like it was our first day out of rehab and we didn't fit into any of our clothes and we just tried to find something that worked. And I'm at the point right now where I'm wondering audibly out loud whether there is a man for me in this life. Men have been disappointing me.
In what way?
Well, to put it simply, I thought there was going to be a guy, a specific guy coming to the party I threw last night who did not make an appearance. And as I discussed with you before the actual party, it's really hard to be present when you're waiting for that person to text, to call, to just step through the door.
Yes.
And I was waiting for this person the whole night. And I don't know, I did the annoying thing. I called when I was leaving the party. I'd been really trying to play it cool, but I couldn't. And then I called you after being like, what did I do? And the irony is I don't even know what I want.
Right.
Really. I've always just wanted a guy to really show up for me and really have my back. And I don't think I've ever fully had that.
Yeah. I mean, first of all, when we were talking, it made me think about this episode where we hope to discuss how easy it is aesthetically to be a socially acceptable straight male and yet how they fail at every turn. But I was thinking like, okay, so if a guy is going to a party and hoping to like hook up with someone, maybe have a chance encounter with someone, what do? Like shower, put a shirt on, put a pair of pants on?
Yes.
As a woman, if choosing because of trauma to follow the societal hints at what is acceptable for hooking up with someone, you are taking a razor to 75% of your body. Don't get me started on the amount of work it takes just to avoid razor burn. It's like, okay, cool. You have to take like a very sharp piece of metal to your body starting from middle school. And then not only that, but if you don't do it the right way, you'll get like bumps all over you. And so you have to do all this other fucking shit. So that's an hour. Then you have to do your makeup for an hour. Then you have to wear an outfit that like shows the right things and hides the right things that society tells you you should fucking show and hide. So I'm saying this is the amount of effort that goes into it. That's why it's hard for us. That's why then when we get to the party, if I had just thrown on a t-shirt and jeans and went and the person wasn't there, I'd be like, whatever. But like, I didn't lose any time over it. I got to do some work. Maybe I got to read maybe before the party. For us, it's like, oh, cool. I lost 3 hours of a 12-hour day.
$200.
I lost money. I lost time. And now you don't want to give me the one reward that makes that worth it, which is an orgasm. Okay.
Listen, yes, I put on body oil over most of my body last night. Yes, it was expensive body oil, not baby Johnson's baby oil, which I used to wear on my body at parties. Which, where did I learn that trick? Oh, thank you for asking, Britney Spears, I'm a Slave for You making of the video. That's how she looked sweaty. I lotioned most of my body, did my hair.
Wait, let me ask a question.
Please.
Did you shave your legs?
Guess what?
What?
I did.
Guys!
You guys, I waxed my legs because honestly, I was past the point where a razor could make an impact.
Wait, that must be so painful though.
It's really not. It's fine. I actually like it because it's so much easier than like taking the time to make sure that I don't have hair socks, which is when I don't reach down far enough to shave and I end up with little furry ankles.
Okay, wait. Oh, maybe I should do that. But then you have to pay for someone to wax it, right?
Yeah, but if you're already there for your vagina and asshole, then you might as well be there for your legs, you know? Okay. But anyway, yes, it's fun to get ready as a woman. It's fun to get ready for the world as a woman. And I honestly was fine with it. I felt comfortable. I wasn't wearing an uncomfortable dress. It's just frustrating. And I was talking to Devin about this, for instance. I'm going back to LA on Tuesday. I have hand surgery in a couple of weeks. I'm really nervous about it. And I want the guys that I'm either talking to, that I'm either dating, to show up a certain way. Bear with me. I'm not even dating or really talking to anyone. But if I were, I'd want them to show up a certain way. That being said, I don't want a boyfriend right now because I don't have the time to explain to a guy how to show up for me. Yeah. I really don't. And I would need to meet someone who really understood how. And I feel like the only person that understands how is Devin, or a close friend like Beth, who sent me treats thinking my hand surgery was like a month ago. And I don't know why that's hard for some people. And I mean, I think of my, you know, friend who was dating a girl who's now his wife, and she dumped him for a period, but they were still talking and she kind of wanted to get back together with him. And then she had a cancer scare and she was in LA. He flew from New York to LA and just drove her to all of her appointments. And I remember telling him like, oh my God, that's so amazing that you did that. And he said, no, it's not. He was like, that's the most basic thing I could do to help. By the way, do not have cancer. I'm not comparing myself to that, but I'm saying that I want to meet someone who finds it easy to show up. I understand like you need to ask for what you need and you need to teach people how to treat you. I don't have time.
I know. And like Carolina and I were talking about how we are basically each other's wives and how we just do instinctively show up for each other. And then I was thinking about a huge reason why I feel, you know, I'm a very fearful person and I constantly catastrophize and think and future trip and think, what if this doesn't happen? And what if that doesn't happen? And what if this does happen? What if that does happen? A huge reason why I really feel like I believe I'll be okay through that is because of my friends, because I know I can call Carolina and yes. I can call Beth and Tess and all these people who just will show up. And I think like a huge thing that I'm learning that I struggle with is like I sometimes have warped ideas of what showing up with love looks like. And so then I put that onto other people. Like I'm very codependent and insecure attached and all these things. So I'll think like, well, why isn't everyone else going above and beyond like I do? Or like, I can't stop obsessing over if my friend is okay. And if they're not obsessing over if I'm okay, they don't love me as much as I love them. Where it's like, no, maybe they're just not an obsessive person.
But yeah, I don't know. I think there's certainly elements of that for sure. There's people who are just very much live and let live, which I have never identified with that statement. But I also know the feeling of having stake in someone else's life. So for instance, when you were waiting to hear about this job that you really couldn't wait for, I was waiting to hear about it too.
Yeah, you were one of the first people I called.
And my mom was waiting to hear about it too.
I know, and Denise was like, I knew you would be coming back to LA.
My mom literally said, I knew Devin was coming back to LA, which speaks to where I inherited my cocky, not based in reality feeling that I am psychic.
I know. I feel like a cosmic thing of like, I want to be here for you while you go through your surgery. And like, maybe there was like a thing that brought that to be so I can like be there for you. Because like, I just feel like you've been there for me so many times and it felt like so like you were put in my path when I really needed you so many times. And so I want to be in your path when you need me. So, oof. Yeah. I don't know what I'm talking about.
Devin is trying to make us cry this whole episode. She's a twisted freak. Of course. I feel so lucky to have you there. And I feel like you've really taught me. Is this episode going to be helpful to anyone? We'll see.
We don't even know what we're talking about. By the way, we come up with the time for this episode. We're like, let's do RI for the straight guy and like make fun of straight men. Meanwhile, we're like, okay, the Victorian era and like generational trauma. And like, I just hope that there's a cosmic being putting me in your path right now.
Okay. You guys, we really promised our producer that we would talk about a subject that we predetermined was going to be RI for the straight guy, and we were going to discuss how many mistakes that can be easily remedied are made. And I want to take the time to do that, to end today on a good note, on a good critical note. And listen, we are not innocent ourselves. I didn't wear underwear from years 2007 to 2010. I wore dresses also. People regularly saw my vagina. So I'm not unlike Britney or Lindsay in the 2008 years. And at the same time, I was for the most part authentic. And that's what I want to speak on when it comes to a specific type of guy that I've been seeing on dating apps, specifically Raya. So okay. A lot of these guys are like real estate bros. All right,
cool. Keep it relatable. Keep it relatable with a Raya.
Listen, it could be Raya. It could be Hinge. I want to talk about the slicked back hair look. The slicked back hair look or the gel with the little dingling bang in front.
The tresses.
I'm like, you look like a fucking villain from a 90s movie. It does not make you look like a billionaire or an entrepreneur, even though that's how you describe yourself. It makes you look like Don Jr. Okay? Ew. Like, just wear your hair naturally unless you have ramen noodle head like Justin Timberlake. And then shave your head, you know?
And then just fuck you. If you're Justin Timberlake, fuck you.
If you're Justin Timberlake, literally turn off the podcast right now because our efforts are not for you.
We know you listen.
Jessica Biel, listen in the bathroom. And if Jessica Biel is listening to this podcast, we are going to spend the rest of our lives trying to get you to leave this.
No. Right now, I think that she's complicit. I'm willing to have my mind changed on that. But right now, I think she's complicit.
I am open-minded. I am willing to hear her side. And I called him a douche, but now I'm going to refer to him as a bidet because I don't think he cleans vaginas. I think he cleans assholes. So, speaking of self-care, brush your goddamn teeth. I'm not saying that to Devin. I'm saying that to the nation, specifically men. Normalize brushing your teeth regularly. Brush them with joy, with glee. I mean, come on. This is not hard. And as I say that, I'm also thinking of being in a man's shower, which is by far a harrowing experience, mainly because it just looks like someone blew snot all over the shower. Like, there's always a mysterious, like, crusty element to it. And I don't know about you, Devin, but I feel like there's been guys that I've dated in my past who have been reluctant when I've asked to clean the apartment. I've always been like, let me clean or like, let me hire a cleaning service to come by. And they've always, I feel like guys in their sort of, you know, DIY genetics are always like, no, it's okay. I'll do it myself. And I want to say, you obviously will not.
I actually have never offered to clean because I don't like to clean. This is something that's frustrated me about my experience in society. I'm actually not a tidy person. Like my mom Well, as an example is like I went to stay at my parents' house and my mom came in the room like an hour after I got there and there was clothes everywhere. And she's like, Devin's home. Like, that's me. I have clothes everywhere. But though I'm untidy, I am hygienic. My biggest thing is vacuuming because I hate like gross crumbs and like stuff around. No, I want my feet to feel clean walking on the floor. Always clean the bathroom. Always clean the kitchen. Like those hygienic things. First of all, like, there's a difference between untidy and messy. And second of all, like, you can't even pull your fucking fly up. This makes me so mad. So I dated someone who would consistently, like, we would meet up and his fly would be down. And I would be like, oh, like, your fly's down. And then he would just be like, oh. And it came, like, eventually after gathering this evidence, like, every time we meet up, the fly is not up. I realized, like, he just doesn't put in the effort to pull up the fly. Like, it just doesn't occur to him. And for some reason, it enraged me to my core because I was like,
that's not for some reason. That is enraging.
Like, the amount of fucking shit that I do, I went under the knife in high school, people, to change my to change the structural bones that I was born with so that I would be considered, quote, conventionally attractive. And you can't even pull up a zipper. Like, I have to wear a bra. I have to wear wires around my chest. That's what I was told was normal. I was told it was normal to wear something with wires in it around my chest every single day. I was told it was normal to just bleed once a month, like, for my whole life.
And I was told it was normal to bring tights up over my belly button that constrict my organs to make me look at least more suave.
Yes. Yes, and you can't even pull up your fucking zipper, and you're going to wear dirty ass, black with dirt flip-flops until there's a hole in them. That's the effort you're going to fucking put in. It makes me insane. And then one time, like, this guy that I was dating, like, he said something like, oh, your skin is, like, breaking out a little bit. And I was like, let me ask you a question. Do you even know that you have pores? Like, have you ever even thought about the fact that you have pores? Probably not.
They
Do you wash your face?
Not.
Do you wash your face? Are you told that you need 8 different cleansers and 8 different toners and you serums. Need this moisturizer? Oh, now you're old enough. Okay, if you had these shoes in 1995, you need a serum. Fuck you. It hurts me. It hurts me. At the same time, I understand that, like, men are repressed in their own way, and at least I have been. It's been accepted for me to, like, experience emotions, and that's a whole different subject. But just think about it when you're throwing on a dirty t-shirt and not even putting up the effort to zip your fly. Think about it when you're Jason Sudeikis and you're on my Instagram feed doing an interview with Katherine Hahn, with legend, icon, queen, just everything good in this world, Katherine Hahn. And you're
in the
wearing
age of the Renaissance.
In the age of the Renaissance, you are graced with the opportunity to be in an Instagram video across from her, and you're wearing a newsboy cap. Just think about that. Think about the fact that society will allow you to do that, and they probably won't even comment on it.
The news. I keep on forgetting about the newsboy cap and how repulsive. I seriously met up with a guy to get laid and did not hook up with him because he had a newsboy cap on. I'm not even kidding. That's not an exaggeration.
Well, congratulations to you, because I showed up to a date with a guy in a newsboy cap and then tried to hook up with him and was rejected by him. And I said,
the
you
worst.
Have the fucking nerve.
I dated this guy in college, and I don't know why I was so obsessed with him. He was like 90 pounds and wore jeans. And I feel like we assume that plumber's crack is, you know, strictly for people
for plumbers.
Who are overweight. We believe that's for plumbers checking under the sink. No, it is in fact also my college boyfriend, who had skinny model legs but did not own a belt, wore the same pair of pants every day, would bend over and everyone could see his hairy ass crack. And I thought I was the only one who noticed, because I obviously, like, was always looking at him. And then one of his roommates was like, oh, yeah, we're all thinking about, like, getting together, pooling together some money to buy him a belt. And I'm so sick of seeing his butt crack. And again, I was like, oh, I'm cognizant if I look in the mirror and think that my belly is sticking out. But this person doesn't care when they feel cool air on their butt crack. They just right. go on with their day. And people will still sleep with them.
Right.
I want to talk about, now we've spoken a little bit about lack of effort, and I want to talk about the over effort. And dating apps have been showing me a specific type of man. I want to talk about the wide black hats that hipsters have been wearing. I believe it started in LA and then swept the country. And these guys are wearing these huge black witch hats to try to make them look like Jack Kerouac.
I don't even know what you're talking about. I have not seen this.
They're like cowboy hats, but felt.
That is sick.
They're hipster hats. They're these big, wide-brimmed LA hipster hats. And these guys wear a lot of jewelry, which, by the way, I think jewelry on men can be really hot, but it has to be classic and minimal. It can't be these guys who are literally dressing in costume with indigo jewelry, big fat rings, and like a suede fringe jacket. It's like you work in advertising. You're not like, you know, a pioneer of the West. And that also speaks to like the expensive vintage t-shirts. I mean, in 2004, 2003, when I was 13, I thought this was like the hottest thing ever. A guy who was into bands and like wore like a vintage t-shirt that was kind of had holes in it. Now, as Devin and I have discussed, I hate cool. I hate cool. I find it wildly unattractive. When I see a guy who's like that, my first thought is you're not good in bed. If you care right. that much, you can't yes. really let your freak flag fly.
Right.
And the opposite of that would be a guy who wears, you know, basketball shorts to dinner. Is that my favorite look? No, but at least he's being authentic and he's probably amazing in bed, much to my chagrin.
I know that it sounds like we're saying like you don't put enough effort in and also don't put too much effort in, but I think that's what fine. We're that's what we're saying. And I think that's fine for two women who've grown up in a society that tells us that like you're a slut or a whore. And if you and you are burdened with, like I said, bleeding like a wound for a week every month that comes with symptoms that are horrific to even begin to understand, and yet hide that from the world because that's shameful and don't ever talk about it and that's disgusting. So yeah, we can tell you that you should put the perfect amount of effort in. Also, I feel like there's a thing that happens too where it's like I think men get to a certain age and then like their wife or their partner gets pregnant and they see like, oh, everything's harder for you and I don't have to do shit. And then the respect comes of like, oh, okay. And it's like, here's your opportunity. Pay attention now. Don't wait until it's like, oh, you have to literally sacrifice the current state of your body for me to experience joy and it fucking destroys you. And if you can't do it automatically, then you feel like something's wrong with you.
I think some men don't react that way, though. I think it destroys some partnerships because if a man operates in the currency of cool, if that's what he's trading with people, if that's what he finds valuable, suddenly his perfect tiny wife or whatever who is, you know, what, gaining an extra 20 pounds, who's not quote unquote snapping back after a baby literally like destroys her body. I think men and the responsibility and a stigma with like adulthood or becoming an adult or, you know, being a father and doing like dorky stuff that isn't smooth or isn't cool or isn't Instagrammable. I think guys can revolt. And recently, and I feel fine talking about this because I have no idea how they could ever listen to the pod. So there's this rock star that I knew through a family friend. And when I say rock star, I mean like he was in some bands that you would know popular indie bands that I wouldn't have known unless he was in them. He gets married to this gorgeous girl, just like the kind of girl who's not just beautiful, but she's like seems really sweet. And John Mulaney's ex-wife is the example I'd give. Gorgeous, but sweet, but talented, etc.
They okay, have, and don't get me started on John Mulaney.
Yeah, we can't. Going. We don't have time. We don't have time.
We don't.
They have a gorgeous wedding. It's like featured in magazines. Then they have adorable son. Everyone's fine. Everyone's beautiful. Everyone's healthy. They get a divorce. Now he's like 36. Doesn't like post about his son at all, wears hot red leather pants, posting about his new girlfriend, saying stuff like, I never knew there could be someone as beautiful as you to his like fashion buyer girlfriend. And you're like, dude, like grow up, make it work with your family. Your girlfriend, ex-wife couldn't have been cooler. You obviously loved her, but you need to be this guy. You need yeah. to be like Mr. Cool fucking rock star. Like, I think that's so lame. And I just
fuck
think
you.
That the red leather pants really are the things that got to me. Don't get me wrong.
No.
Devin said, yes, we understand the conflicting messages of like, put some effort in. Don't be too much. Don't wear like your Yeezys and do the praying right. on your knees fuckboy pose with your friends.
All we're saying is don't wear dirty flip-flops with holes in them and also don't wear Yeezys.
That's all we're saying. Can there be a happy medium? Yes, I believe there can be. And
the happy medium is Channing Tatum. Go on.
Oh, don't get me started.
Don't even get me started.
I am just saying that if you're going to wear the red leather pants, at least have a sense of humor about it. Don't be Mr. fucking cool guy. I just
right.
find it so lame. I'm not in college anymore. Like, that isn't just, like, funny and hot to me. I'm like, what is the state of your life that you have, you know, not worked it out with your wife, you're dating some young fashion buyer, and you're wearing hot leather red pants in the middle of the day.
No.
Like, what is the state of your ego? And I have to say, my personal favorite decor in men is kind of trash. Like, listen, is it nice to see like someone in a lovely cashmere sweater with a button down? Sure. I mean, by the way, I'm in Boston right now. Every single guy is such a fucking Barney here. These guys in Boston are wearing button-down shirts. By the way, it's like 90 degrees here. Button-down shirts with a fleece Patagonia Land's End vest over it.
No.
And like slacks.
Yeah.
Or like chino shorts. And I'm just like, come on, you guys. Like, this is actually the most like sanitized, like unsexy look ever. What I think is really hot is either a Timothy Chalamet who's into like couture.
Yes.
Like when he wore the YSL harness at an event. And I was like, I literally want to walk you around like a dog and like do some really freaky sex with you.
Or like Young Thug. Young Thug.
Or like
Young Thug. He'll wear like dresses sometimes and it's really attractive.
Or like a guy who is wearing a white Hanes t-shirt with a minimal chain and like baggy jeans. And I can smell it, like Old Spice or like a generic male scent to him. I love when men smell like clean laundry.
Yeah.
Like it reminds me of like hooking up with guys in high school. No offense, Devin. I know you didn't do a lot of that.
I didn't do simply any of that, but yeah.
But what I hate
is
the news.
Yes, reminds me of making out in high school. Yes. I can smell it now. I can really smell it now. Oh, wait, that's my dog in my bed as I'm watching UFO videos at 16 and 2 in the morning.
But the opposite of that is like the guy who's wearing a camera around his neck in his newsboy hat with an ironic shredded t-shirt. I don't relate to that anymore.
I think it's kind of funny that we're like comparing this by name only to Queer Eye for the straight guy. And like in Queer Eye, they're so hopeful. Like they're like, okay, we are going to give you like, okay, everything's hard right now, but like we are going to change everything. And we're like, all right, first of all, fuck you. And second of all, the things I like are couture or just not even trying, but not even trying to this extent, but only to that extent. So fuck you. And
okay, when I said couture, I meant ingenuity.
I have no idea what that means.
It means something like at least brave.
Okay, so Carolina's type is ingenuity and brave. And if that's hard for you guys to live up to, then walk out the door.
If that's confusing,
walk out the door.
I want you.
Hacks is back for season 3, and so is the official Hacks podcast. In each episode, Hacks creators Lucia Aniello, Paul W. Downs, and Jen Statsky speak with cast and crew members to unpack the Emmy-winning comedy series. You'll hear Hannah Einbinder and Jean Smart speak to their on-screen dynamic, along with Hacks writer and actor Pat Regan, on how their improv experience helped them when shooting scenes and what it was like writing scripts for specific actors.
You'll also hear from crew members like the costume designers on what it was like creating the world that Deborah and Ava inhabit. Hear stories from the show's writer's room, on-set antics, and more. Watch Hacks streaming exclusively on Max and listen to the official Hacks podcast on Max or wherever you get your podcasts.
Bean Dad, The Dress, 30 to 50 Feral Hogs. If you knew what any of those were, you spend too much time online. And hey, I do too. 16th Minute of Fame is a new weekly podcast hosted by me, Jamie Loftus, where every week I take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Who were they? What made them so notorious? Why did the internet choose them? And what does a person do when they're suddenly confronted with more attention than the human psyche can handle? I'll be talking to internet historians, experts, and yes, the main characters themselves to get a fuller picture. Because I think that even outside individual experiences, a character of the day tells us something about how the internet worked at that time and how the attention economy developed into the freaky three-headed dragon it is today. Together, we probably won't be able to properly log out, but we can take a walk down scary internet memory lane and see one day a little more clearly. Listen to 16th Minute of Fame on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Neil Strauss, host of the Tenderfoot TV True Crime Podcast, To Live and Die in LA. I'm here to tell you about the new podcast I've been undercover investigating for the last year and a half. It's called To Die For. Here's a clip.
All these girls were sent out into the world, and they were told, try to meet important men, try to attach yourself to important men.
The voice you're hearing is a Russian model agent telling me about spies sent out to seduce men with political power.
The war in Ukraine is also being fought by all these girls that are all over important cities.
For the first time, a military-trained seduction spy reveals how the Russian government turns sex and love into a deadly weapon.
If you want to kill your target, it's easy. You just seduce him, take him somewhere, start having sex, and then he's very vulnerable, so you can kill him easily.
To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I want to speak on male's house decor for a second, because I honestly, this doesn't offend me at all. I think it's really funny. I think it's so funny.
Okay.
I love the guy who has books that he obviously didn't read on his shelves.
All right. Well, that's me, because I've had a copy of Infinite Jest for like my whole life and I've never read it.
I mean, a shelf of Kerouac. I mean, a shelf of J.D. Salinger. I mean, records out for show. I mean, again, someone who's just playing it really cool. I think that, like, guys' stuff is really funny. Like, the fact that they love maps, the fact that they love collecting shot glasses, the fact that they love the rustic look. Anything rustic, like, will find a place in their house.
Yeah. I think also, like, there's a male thing that occurs that I can relate to, which is like, oh, like, I love this thing, so like, I should just buy everything that has to do with this thing. Like, oh, I love the Boston Red Sox, so like, oh, that's a Boston Red Sox bat, I'll frame it. Like, oh, that's a Boston Red Sox shirt, I should have that. Like, I relate to that because that's how I feel when I see any type of homeware that has like a horse or a dog on it.
Yeah, I identify with that. And that's all to say that we understand. If a guy had a problem with, you know, a framed picture of my dog in the house or the tattoo of, you know, my dog on me, which I'm hoping to get someday. And I completely understand that. But I feel licensed to judge what men decide to put in their house.
Yes.
And something I find interesting, and I definitely have dated guys who cared about decor, but this is what bothers me about some male decor. They were taught that it was male not to care about something. So right. They were taught, when you're like, I want a nicer bath mat.
Right.
They were taught like, no, that bath mat works. And it's like, Yes. Well, that bath mat is in fact disgusting. And legions of people, armies have walked over this bath mat in Yes. Fucking dirt, disgusting garbage lace shoes. Let's get something that's a nice color, perchance. Let's get something that feels good upon bare feet, perchance.
Yes.
No, because we don't need it. No, I do need it.
I need to feel joy. I need to feel joy when I step out of the shower after, like I said, taking a fucking straight razor to my skin, because that's what society tells me you will like. So yeah, can I feel a little plushness on my toes when I get out?
I thought you were going to say tush.
Can I sit my ass on the plush bath mat and just rub it around because it feels good?
Like a dog.
Is that weird?
Please?
Please? In peace? Please?
It reminds me of an episode of Newlyweds when Jessica Simpson buys new sheets and he says, how much were these? And she says, $1,500. And he goes, Jessica Simpson. And she's like, I can't sleep on the other sheets. Mind you, I've never spent that much on sheets. But if I was a millionaire who had been making a career for myself and wanted fancy sheets, that is okay.
I think the theme of Newlyweds is don't trust a white man with a tribal tattoo to do anything, let alone decorate your house. That's the theme of that episode and that whole show.
I keep thinking about what you said, that we are not bringing the optimism of the queer eye, and this is like straight girls just throwing
shitting,
pure
just shitting.
Shame on shitting. All straight
shitting
males.
At every angle. Shitting at every
shitting
angle.
At every angle, and then needing to wipe our butts on the beautiful bathroom mat we're asking you to buy.
And I wish I could have a different response right now, but I can't. I mean, this is a weekend where, like I said, I'm buying 3 servings of Chinese food for myself. I'm watching my best friend's wedding, screaming at the TV, throwing things at the TV. So I'm not in a place to be hopeful, generous, or anything like that. And I know we're going to get some comments because when we were on Will You Accept This Rose podcast, which was such a joy beyond words, and all I said was like the men on The Bachelorette are like kind of boring and they're not emotionally capable of bringing the drama that women do on The Bachelor. Someone commented on Twitter that basically saying like, because women are crazy, men have to be crazy. Wow. Like double standard. So I know we're going to get some comments we don't like, and I'm completely fine with that. And I'll be happy to shit on those too.
I like the trolls sometimes because it means that they're listening.
Yeah. I mean,
we were called whores and bimbos last week on Instagram. And I frankly was, Devin and I were trying to figure out, we're like, who would we know?
It can't just be a person who happened upon our podcast. It has to be like a relative because like no one's just happening upon us, clearly. If you are, welcome. If you are, here's us. Here's us and our humble offering of shitting on an entire group of people. Yeah.
When they said bimbo, I was like, you're over 60. I'm sorry.
I was like, wait, so we're hot? Oh, thanks.
If you're saying we're hot, then I will accept that.
Yeah.
I can only hope next week is better. I am hopeful. I am going to try and resuscitate some hope for myself romantically. Listen, wait. I'm about to be in a crazy fucking cast for 6 to 12 weeks. I mean, I'm a little bit nervous, listeners, that you guys are going to hear me high on hospital grade drugs eventually and really hear some truth, some truth from my lips. But if that's the case, that's the case.
Listen, is there a chance that we can record our next episode in person with each other?
Wow.
No. She's like, no, I never want to hang out with you.
No, I actually don't want to. I'm busy that day. I'm busy. I'm recording a podcast that day.
Oh, okay.
Listeners, Devin and I have never recorded together by nature of Trump's failed COVID response.
We've never even met.
We haven't told you guys this, but we've never been friends, really. This is so exciting. Yes, next time we record together, we will be together. We can play with my dogs after. We can have food. We can laugh amongst each other. Until then.
Until then, I have to say nothing because if you don't have anything nice to say, say nothing at all.
Devin did not take that advice this episode, but I like that you said it at the end.
Until now, at the end, I will say, like, now I will just try to focus. And I will say, like, I thought I knew I was, like, angry and in a bad mood today. And I was like, I should meditate before the podcast so I don't say anything I regret. And what did I do instead of meditating? Good question. I watched the Queen of Versailles documentary on
that
Hulu.
That you've seen multiple times.
That I've seen multiple times. And it's about the horrors of capitalism. And I drank coffee and looked at dog TikToks. So better luck to me next week.
Devin, do what you told me to do once, which is listen to Olivia Rodrigo.
Oh, I do every day.
I literally might as well be paying her the same fees I paid my therapist for how much she's helped me this week.
And also a recommendation from Tess Itzman that saved my life this week, the new Doja Cat album. Please avail yourself.
I'll get back to you.
Please avail yourself. Okay. Well, I love you, Carol.
Love you, Devin. Catch us next time.
All I ever wanted was a little love. I want true romance. It's true. Love me, baby, don't leave me hanging. I want true romance.
Bean Dad, The Dress, 30 to 50 feral hogs. If you knew what any of those were, you spend too much time online. And hey, I do too. 16th Minute of Fame is a new weekly podcast hosted by me, Jamie Loftus. And every week, we take a closer look at an internet character of the day. Who are they? What made them so notorious? How did the internet or the algorithm choose them?
And what does a person do when they're suddenly confronted with more attention than the human psyche can handle? Listen to 16th Minute of Fame on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Imagine you're a fly on the wall at a dinner between the mafia, the CIA, and the KGB. That's where my new podcast begins. This is Neil Strauss, host of To Live and Die in L.A., and I wanted to quickly tell you about an intense new series about a dangerous spy taught to seduce men for their secrets and sometimes their lives. From Tenderfoot TV, this is To Die For. To Die For is available now. Listen for free on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.